Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting over through Skype where we have interference. It happens atmospherically, I presume. Welcome to Masonic Effects. Your first discovery may be may be a welcome, and I certainly hope it is. I want to welcome and thank our listeners from South Korea, from Russia, India, Brazil, interesting core of listeners out there. Also those from the United States of America and Canada. And thank you. And Britain, my goodness. I saved Britain for last, perceptibly as a homage to the whole theme of this program, being topics Masonic in nature. Thank you for the response last week. Was fabulous. I really did and do appreciate the support. And it's you only have yourself to blame for encouraging this kind of programming. In true Masonic fashion, you exhibit. I presume you exhibit every time you tune in a great deal of patience for the way we bounce through our program. This is, I think, what are we heading into, our 10th year? And we have tens of thousands of listeners. Your listening core is respectable. I'll let you know when we hit 100,000. But you would think, you know, we're not, I'm not Lady Gaga or celebrities. And I think you would be put off if we had hundreds of thousands. You're the chosen few. You're the group that by mishap or adventure is driven by your curiosity for inner development and intellectually stimulating experience. Masonry has found you, and you have found this opportunity. Everybody comes to the door of a lodge in an atmosphere of hope, perhaps not so much from the candidate, but from the assembled members. Hope that this is a person that's going to grasp the fullness of Masonry and explore as he walks through life in his own path, those elements that will help him, assist him in character development. That is a big part of this, after all. The equipment that you need for that, along with an open mind, is a sensitivity, and you already have this, a sensitivity to the fact that improvement, self-improvement, is about some form of change, not judgment, not criticism, but change that you accept. It speaks slow loss here. We're speaking to about a commentary today that I open with a quote, and I'll just tease you a little bit with it. Perhaps this applies to, it makes it more succinct, the points that I'm trying to make here. You cannot teach a man anything. You can only help him to find it within himself. The irony, eh? This came from Galileo Galilei, a man who suffered greatly, you know, and recanted, even though it wasn't the truth, you know. You compromise. But we're going to start off, kick things off here a little bit today. This is the 260th day of the 260th day of the year? Yeah. Amazing, huh? The year is moving ahead, and our part as those collectives of stardust that make up us, and the inevitability that the energy that is us is going to be reassuming a role or a place in the universe with the properties of science around us. That's what we call science. The greatness of it all is remarkable. I sigh because we're 5 days away from equinox. And as I get older, I enjoy this more and more and more. The fact that I can anticipate these types of events as well as take care of the domestics and the domestic issues of the day. I'll catch up to you when we get into the commentary. Here's a very interesting group that I think you'll like. It's a particular stylized kind of music. This was performed in Vienna in the 8th of November, 2015. Check it out. Thank you. From Galileo, it's fitting, don't you think? We know a little bit about him, don't we? Some of us. We know he was the discoverer. He discovered Callisto and Ganymede and Europa, the Io, and the rings of Saturn. No irony lost to us all. Cassini, the probe, that had been sent out into space. Not a, you know, it's not as far as Voyager, but it's out there. Was directed into through the atmosphere and burned up a few days ago. And I want to ask you just a sort of a rhetorical question, I guess. The thought is it's being described as one of the most ambitious efforts in planetary space exploration. Was it worth the $3.26 billion invested in it? Was it? Did we need to understand, did you think there's some merit in adding the information about that very distant planet and the rings? And now we do. We know more. And we still haven't processed all of the information. Of course, it takes quite a time, even after the probe had been destroyed by the friction. The information that it had been sending was still passing through space, and still being received. We find fault with Galileo. The churches did at the time. Church did, because he was. His discoveries were supporting the Copernican theory. It supports that the sun was that our star was the center of the universe. And here he was. He didn't have a background, a backdrop of the current physics. So this was in a very large way a pioneer. A remarkable person. That's why I thought it was fitting that we involve him and weave him into the program today. Here, well, some of the things he is quoted as saying, I think, are remarkable. All truths are easy to understand once they're discovered. The point is to discover them. it's sort of, there's a profoundness to it. And, you know, 21st century, where I'm subjected to, you know, there's an effort that to bombard me with sales products here in where I'm sitting in the face of the earth. And I think it's sort of counterproductive because it's doing something to our brain. We're still in the process of evolving ourselves, although we often feel like we are actors watching this great universe around us and the discoveries and being fed and being taught or told information. How much of it is relevant is what determines our interest during the day. And sometimes I feel like, you know, you get so distracted because there's just so much really interesting information. What ties it together is you. What ties it together is you. The path that you take gives it meaning. How do you apply? If I were beginning again, he said, if I were beginning my studies again, I would follow the advice of Plato and start with mathematics. Now, all right, so when I was 18, if you told me that, I'm thinking, oh, really? It's not my strong suit. But given all of the things that were going on and have gone on, that too has passed. You and I are no longer those young men, but we have the history selective. We curry through it and winnow it through. And it's kind of interesting. It forms our personality, and which goes on to be part of the discussions about our character. When we make it known, the things that we recall, the embellishments, our human capability, not our character, but that's a human trait, embellishment and selectivity. And you've heard it over the programs of the last year or so, we've talked and I've spoken about the selective amnesia. It's an interesting phenomena. When I get to the point where there's something that is ingrained in me that's being challenged by new information, I can selectively, I have this capacity. I know I'm the only one in the universe with this capacity to pretend as if the other information no longer exists or is irrelevant. Only to discover, given some time, that there is relevance in a lot of things. And how did I not feel that I was being, you know, led by this information rather than my own conscience? Well, like the other day, I'm thinking, you know, if I'm reading the work of Stephen Hawking, and he has opinions, then it's because he is a person that I know as with a capacity for incredible sensitivity to detail. His opinions are worth considering. He's not prone to at least when he's talking on officially, I would say. He's not prone to being frivolous, and he does take care of the detail. So there's a person that gives a great deal of thought to comment and his opinion, valid. So it's worth my while to pay attention to that. A concern about artificial intelligence? Well, yeah, I have that. I'm not sort of jumping in with both feet because I'm being sold this sense. I'm being sold. There's efforts to convince me and other people that everything about AI, artificial intelligence, is good for us, for mankind. I haven't found much that offers that kind of carte blanche. Some of the opinionated egos around that are just sort of useless after a while. I find their conversation useless because it sort of drifts off into ego, you know. And I can't tell whether they're being cynical or stupid. Sorry. I know. They're my fellow man. But I can't tell. That's my feeling. It's not theirs. I can't tell. Today we can at the very least acknowledge that what's going on with Saturn had something to do with this very bright Italian gentleman who was, what would you say, vilified? He was a monster in the eyes of some. Can you imagine? He seemed to be going about his business speaking the truth. And therein lies the difficulty, isn't it? What happens when somebody speaks the truth? It can be very, very dangerous. Yeah, I like the fact that he constructed a telescope and supported the Copernican theories. But he was accused twice of heresy by the church for his beliefs. Twice. And it was hurtful, eh? Yep. And he learned from, but he was bright.
As the Renaissance swept across Europe, he turned his heart and mind toward the heavens. By improving...
Go and check it out. That was just the introduction to some material. Go and check it out. It's not for this program. Here's a little something to settle the mind. Settle the mind. Because I think the commentary today is a bit different from sonic effects. This is a little something from Nora Jones.
Tonight with one unspoken. Daddy,
piece of music today. Soft piece. Not quite the jazz that you were expecting, I hope. Here. Let's talk. Something about the order always seems in place. Again, this is like oysters today. This isn't a meal for everybody. Some people curl their nose up and couldn't possibly. Others just think this is a rare delicacy. Where we're living, we could turn to a sushi. 20 years ago, we wouldn't have. We had great difficulty in this part of the world eating anything uncooked. And we would have missed out on some remarkable flavors and experiences. Yeah. We trade on our cultures, don't we? We trade on our cultures. Not everybody. Change and growth and the progress that we make, it happens in an uneven way. Even when there are remarkable, there are certain proofs. Galileo's a convenient example of that. That truth, that reality that he calculated, that he observed, that with great consistency wasn't accepted everywhere. Hundreds of years later, I can sit here, not in any way pejorative or feeling smug, and just, you know, wonder in hindsight about the significance of that decision and that man. Did he know at the time? Well, I imagine one day when the Medici were taking young Michelangelo into their studios, where he was a young boy, I suppose considered a young man at the time. He was in his early mid-teens. The studio, the Medici, were painters and sculptors producing some of the finest work of the time. And this young man had shown some talent. And so, of course, the Medici, in the early days of the family's hegemony, the influence, were cultivating and developing the arts, the sciences. And so he qualified in that respect. And very quickly, when he was brought in, his talent was known to all of the other artists. Not so much as a competition, but as an acknowledgement that there is something special about this this artist that sort of confused many. If you were to think that you only reach the pinnacle of your greatness in your older age with experience, I like to think that, you know, when you look at his early work, it's incredible. At the time, welcome here, and there's your table and here's your materials and go around with the introductions. Who would have possibly known? Who in the room could have predicted? Well, nobody. So we can learn something from history. History helps helps us define who we are, and it helps us to understand purpose. Being lost in history? Well, we have to live currently. We live day by day, and we live in the moment. But history is useful. Let me put it that way. And we have to be aware that it can be manipulated to serve ideological purpose. Yeah, and it has. And that's the sort of the oddness of life. Other people would try and manipulate us. I think that's odd. I think people are, and Masonry certainly tends to echo this understanding that at the core of humanity is goodness, is capacity, and the capacity for greatness. We just need to overcome that feeling of ourselves. We need to, in a sense, get over ourselves so we can explore. And do that after a while with some degree of it generates some degree of confidence. Very gradually. Who would know? Just like the people coming to our door. And the questions that are asked, you know, we hope that you're one of those who will compliment and bring something to the order. To ask that of somebody at the door initially is perhaps hasty. It's perhaps like saying to Einstein in his early days as a schoolboy, what are you going to do with this mathematics there, Albert? What are you going to do with it? Well, he would say something, being bright, and perhaps these folks were precocious. What are you going to do with this? Well, what if the person is still discovering their talents and honing them? We're a bit silly thinking that a candidate that's waiting to be influenced, waiting and needing and desirous, testing the water, putting his toe in the water to test the temperature, is capable of great imagination. What's the point? We are the context of Masonry, you and I. Our communication about each other reveals so much more about the order than anything we could possibly be saying with some deliberation, talking deliberately to a young man is part of his learning. But more important, I truly believe this, is the observation of our behavior. People pick it up. So the gravity, there's an attraction, but not to one and all. Like those meals that are acquired tastes. What is the appeal of Masonry that is echoed since 16th century? Let's be reminded the 16th century was unparalleled. It opened with uncanny, inspired invention, disturbingly beautiful paintings and sculpture of Michelangelo. Midway, the writings of Shakespeare that taught the world existence is nuanced and with meaning and purpose. And taking us to another plane, it ended with the discoveries of Galileo that forever changed the way we think about the universe. They were teaching us, in my sense, agency. We have that. You and I have agency. Without peer, as attested by Donatello and Titian and Botticelli, who share the 14th to 17th century period of the Renaissance. They were for many an outstanding embodiment of Renaissance of humanity. Today, we find their influences in the broadest workings of Masonry. Inspiration, beauty, curiosity, and courage. We distilled principles and ethics from history and helped humanity find these unifying forces were not man-made. God? Well, The self-help phenomena of the 80s and 90s failed because it negated self-discovery and the value of struggle. Yes. It is imperfect. Yes. It is optimistic. Yes. It is audacious, masonry. Yesterday and tomorrow exist only in our imagination. Today is the moment where we find masonry and masons. A little Thelonious Monk, soothe your mind. This is recorded on 15th of December, 1969. Of course, it's around midnight. That today. Shortened program, technical complications. I hope you've enjoyed being with us. We've enjoyed having you as part of the audience. Thanks for your support. And commit those unseen acts of Masonic kindness that can't be traced back to you or us. Been great. See you next time.